So today, this is a topic that I'm sure we've studied a bit in the past, and I want to sort of look at it hopefully in a fresh way so we could understand, first of all, the advantages for each approach. And that is the question of Paro's lack of free choice in his behavior. That there seems to be a tension between the there seems to be a tension between the text and theology, right? Because we know that one of the basic differences that we have, that you know, that man has, or how is when God says Nase Adam b'tzalmeinu v'chidmuseinu, that when God creates man, so how is man different than animals? So some of our Shem, like the Meshech Chachma, says the difference that man has over animals is free will. So that seems to be like a basic, fundamental definition of what it means to be human. And yet, the Torah seems to indicate that Paro's heart was hardened. Hashem even tells Moshe, Vani akshe eslave Paro. Hashem even tells Moshe that he's going to harden Paro's heart initially. And we know from the fifth plague and on, Paro's heart is hardened. So there are generally three approaches. Evan, you had a comment, or?
Yeah, Paro does it himself.
What do you mean he does it himself? No, there was the first five, it says that, but then it says after starting from the sixth plague that Vayechazek Hashem eslev Paro, right?
It doesn't mean that he made it hard. He gave him strength. It doesn't mean that he hardened his heart.
Okay.
You want to leave and start again?
Okay. So again, you're saying, yeah, so what do you want to say, Evan? What do you mean he gave him strength?
Given the power to not be by influenced by the plagues.
Okay.
They've made him stronger.
So it made him stronger, so he would not, right. So now, what you want to say is that Paro's he didn't really take away his free will, but Hashem, he would have to repent on God's terms, not on his own terms. No, it's not because of if you repent because of fear, that's not real repentance. You know, he would have accepted a repentance based on not being beaten down, but just a repentance out of, I don't know, love of Hashem or recognition that Hashem is a true God. Right.
Rabbi, what I've heard and what I think is the best for me is that he strengthened Pharaoh's heart in that you can think with your head or you can think with your heart. And so if he were thinking with his head, he would see that he has no chance. So God made it so that he would strengthen his heart so that he would think with his heart instead of thinking with his head.
I'm not sure I understand that. What do you mean by that?
Well, if you're thinking logically, meaning thinking with your head, I mean, you take a look at the facts of what's going on, and you're going to know that you're going to lose. Right? That you can't stand up to God.
Right.
But when you're thinking with your heart, you're thinking with your feelings instead of
Oh,
your head.
you're saying the heart refers to his feelings.
Right. So, you know, so by strengthening your heart, you're strengthening, you know, you're thinking with your feelings rather than thinking with, you know, with logically.
Okay, so in other words, you're saying that he made Paro make emotional decisions?
Rabbi.
So wait, one second, wait, I'm trying to let me think of this for a second. You're saying that Paro made an emotional decision. And so what did Hashem do? And I'm trying to understand. There's Hashem made Paro make an emotional decision, and his emotional decision was not be but why wouldn't I say that his emotional decision is he's suffering a lot and therefore I have to free them? Wouldn't you say, like, emotionally I can't take it anymore, and therefore I have to free them?
No, I think he's thinking that when I say he's thinking emotionally, he's thinking about what he would like it to be. rather than what it actually
is. So that's what he means emotionally. Okay. Okay.
Rabbi?
Yeah.
It says, late parokaved. So I saw somebody that said, because the Hebrew word kaved, which means liver. He made his heart like a liver. In other words, the heart doesn't think anymore like it normally does. It acts like a liver. The more you heat the liver, the harder it gets.
Mm-hmm.
The tougher it gets.
That's interesting. Okay, I hear you. Also, you made it tougher. Okay, listen. It's you're trying to sort of deal. Interesting. Also, I just want to point out that you're trying to sort of deal with the fact that it's an interesting question. When the Torah refers to a lathe, you know, very often the lathe is in the Torah's terms, sometimes the lathe is actually the intellect. So you have to sort of see, like, we generally don't see a lot of, we talk about someone's mind. We seem to say that the center of their intelligence, at least biblically, very often is the heart. But okay. But again, and what both Mike and Evan have chosen to do, but what both Evan... What?
You can ask a broader question. I mean, Hashem is manipulating things, Yosef getting to Mitzrayim and the dreams of the Sarah Mashkin.
Okay, but that's a different question. But
he's being manipulated in a way.
Okay, but again, I can deal with God manipulating events. It's not as much of a theological problem. What's more of a theological issue is this issue of free will. So I mean, what Evan and Mike have done is they're sort of redefining, I guess, a little bit of this what it means to have free will, that you don't, that Hashem will not fully take away your free will, but he can sort of shape it. So he can shape it a little bit, either by what Mike was saying, sort of letting you make decisions based on your emotions, which to some extent is limiting his free will, or Evan is saying, we're not going to give you full free will if you're only going to do tshuva under some circumstances. So I'm saying the way you're solving the problem is you're simply saying that God can limit but not completely remove man's free will. Let me sort of share with you three approaches to deal with that. So the approach that the two of you are suggesting, that's like sort of the middle approach. The first approach is actually don't take it seriously. And I for some reason I thought I had a quote of Shaddal, because he said actually much better. It's not so clear from Rav Sadia Gaon. But Rav Sadia Gaon basically sort of said that Hashem sort of, in a sense, manipulated this situation. That when it says that Hashem was mechazik the heart of Paro, what it means to say is, in the second line, v'nitzarech Paro lechazik nafsho, Paro needed to strengthen himself. What does it mean to strengthen his soul? It means shelo yovad b'makos. It means that when it says that Hashem strengthened, that he just wanted Paro not to die, that he could have killed him after the fifth plague, but he kept him alive. That's what it means. In other words, don't take it so seriously that he actually hardened his heart. What it really means is that he kept him alive. Now, obviously, if Sadia Gaon is working with this, obviously, it doesn't fit in as well with the psukim, because you have to pick your poison. You either have to redefine what Bechira Chafshis means, or you have to sort of reread the simple meaning of the text. And Rav Sadia Gaon wants to say what it means that he hardened his heart, he strengthened his soul, what it really means is he kept him alive. But Paro still had free will. Obviously, again, it's a redefining of the psukim, and I apologize, I don't have the source here, but the Shaddal says that what it really means is that it's like, it was as if Paro hardened his heart. I wish I had the language here with me. But the Shaddal basically says that even though it says Hashem hardened Paro's heart, it was what Paro did was so crazy. It was so like who would refuse to send the Bnei Yisrael after seeing five makos? So therefore must have been, it's as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu hardened his heart. In other words, it's more of like a guzma, it's more of an exaggeration. Again, the Rav Sadia Gaon and Shaddal are both taking the view, like Hashem, there's no way that Hashem would harden Paro's heart, so they have to read into the psukim that position. Again, it's forced. I think these are forced, but what pushes them is, again, their conviction that God does not take away man's free will. The middle approach, and this is a variation, what Evan, what Mike was suggesting, can be found in the writings of the Ramban and the Sephardim. So, for example, the Ramban, I think sort of says what Evan wanted to say was that the Ramban asked this question, and he says Vatam Hasheni in the third line. We're going to get to the rest of the Ramban a little bit later. In the third line of the second paragraph in the Ramban, it says Vatam Hasheni ki hayu chatzia makos alav bepisho, that half of the plagues were Paro's fault. Ki lo nemar bohem rak veyechazek lev Paro. This says that Paro's heart was hardened. Veyachved Paro libo. Paro hardened his heart. Hinei lo rotze leshalchav lichvod Hashem. He didn't want to send them out to honor God. But when the place became strengthened upon him, and he was weakening, that he was suffering for over them, rach libo, his heart got soft, and he simply, it was sort of like under duress. It's like when someone's like twisting your arm and then sign this document. That's essentially what's going on. That's not willing. You know, you're not entering into a contract. If someone puts a gun to your head and says, you know, sell me your house or sell me your property, whatever it is, and they put a gun to your head and you sign the documents, that's not your free will. That's based on pressure. Yeah, so the question is, first of all, is that applied to a non-Jew also? I don't know. No, I'd say that whole thing about Makinom Shirotzim Rotzani, that Rav Soloveitchik has a take on this, where he says that when the angel learns with the Jew in the baby when he or she's in his mother's womb, so it means that he has a certain atiya to want to do what's right. So it's a hard thing. We have to try to understand that. Okay, but there might be the difference between Jew and non-Jew, maybe. But he says lo lasos ritzon boro, that Paro did not want to do the will of his creator. Vaz hiksha Hashem es rucho v'meitzes levo l'man saper shemo. So once Paro was not going to willingly, out of his own free will, as Mike would say intellectually, or Evan wanted to say, without the pressure of the Makos, so then Hashem said he's going to strengthen his heart, he's going to take away some of his free will in order to honor his name. So he's going to make himself known, make himself holy. If Paro would have said, God is a true God, I see all these miracles, he clearly is a true God, and it's not based on me suffering, I'm feeling forced, so then he would have, so then that would have constituted tshuva. But this was not really considered tshuva, and in fact, the Sfardo says something similar. It's really the same thing. He said, let's just read about four lines from the bottom of this Sforno.
Rabbi?
Yeah.
What is the mitzvah? I ask you every year. I keep getting the answer.
Yeah, I don't.
Listen, vayachazek and vayachabein.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the. Some is vayachazek, some of them vayachabein, right? Literally, one means to strengthen, one is heavy. I don't know what the pattern is. I'll see if I can see something before Shabbos, if I can. Okay, Vihine, so he says, Vihine, Omar Akel Yisbarach, Vadi Akshah Slay Paro. It's another thing, Artie. Akshah, okay. I've got a heart in Paro's heart. She Yisabates the Spola Bakos, Vlo Yishlach Biyiras Habakos Es Yisrael. He's not going to send based of fear. Because from the Makos they're going to recognize my greatness, and then they'll do a real live tshuva, a real repentance. So you will tell Kla Yisrael, who sees their struggles, because they're going to, the goal really is that they have to reflect on their deeds. In other words, the truth is Hashem punishes us when we do something bad and then we're expected to do tshuva. So isn't that tshuva based on the suffering? So I guess the difference would be when basically like this, if someone's in the moment that someone's twisting my arm and then I sign a document that I'm going to do tshuva, you know, so at that point that's forced. But if someone would punish me and make me suffer and then I reflect on my suffering and said, oh yeah, obviously I was doing the wrong thing, that would be a real tshuva. So that's something that Paro was not willing to do. And so therefore Hashem hardened Paro's heart a little bit. Again, it's still hardening his heart a little bit, but it's saying that Hashem can sometimes take away our free will to do tshuva when it's not for the right motivations. That's still, again, it's still a limit. It's still limiting, the free will, which to some extent, it's Hashem is still somewhat involved in man's free will. So that's why Sadia Gaon, and that's why the Shaddal are not happy with this approach, because it's still limiting our free will to some extent. The most extreme view, which is fascinating, which is the Rambam's view, and that is because the Rambam talks about that we can have free will. And yet in Hilchos Tshuva, Perek Vav, Halacha Gimel, he says, V'efshar shiyechta adam chet gadol chataim rabim ad shiten adim lifnei dayan o'emes. So sometimes you could sit a lot, until what's the judge? Until you come in front of the judge. Yeah, piron mizeh chote al chatimei l'sha'asu birtzono midato shemonim mimenu ad tshuva. That what's the punishment of the sinner, of these sins, is that we prevent repentance from him. Vein manichim lo rishus lashuv mirisho, and we don't allow him to return from his wickedness. Kidei shiyamus biyovad b'cheto shiyasa, so that he will die and be destroyed from the sin that he did. Hu shekadosh baruch hu amar ayde Yeshayahu, hashmein lev amazeh. This is what God said about Yeshayahu, that the heart of the people's been fattened up. The chayin who ober avahim malivim b'malachei elokim bozim devarim umitateim b'nviyav ad alos chamas Hashem v'amo ad le'ein marpei. So it's also he's saying that they were following their the false prophet, or following false prophets, or not following the prophets until God's anger struck, until there was no way to. Look at Rashi. It looks like continue. Kolomer chatu b'irtzonam v'irbu lifshoa ad shenischai v'lim no mehena tshuva shehi marpe. So then they kept on sitting until there's no marpe. There's no way to be healed anymore. In other words, there's no way to repent. Lefiha kasu b'Torah. That's why it says in the Torah, v'ani achazek eslei paro. I'm going to strengthen the heart of paro. Lefi shachata me'atzmo tchila because he first sinned, Varag Yisrael Gvim Baratzo, he killed Klal Yisrael in his land. Shedemar Havad Yischak Velo. Nasan, let's be wise with them. Nasan Dilim Noah Tshuva Menu Ad Shenifra Menu. So the judgment should have been to prevent him to do tshuva until punishment was exacted from him. Lefichach Chazak HaKadosh Baruch Hu Asliwo. Therefore Hashem strengthened his heart. V'lama Haya Shalech Lo B'Yad Moshe V'Omar Shalech. Why did he send Moshe and say, send and do tshuva? He already says, you're not going to send it. So, Vulam Bavorzos Hamaticha Kedei Lo Dia Levai Holam. It's to tell the people of the world, Shabizman Shabanech Kadosh Baruch Hu Tshuva Lechote, Ena Yachol Lashuv. So, the point where Hashem was sending Moshe to Paro to tell him to repent, when Hashem said he's not going to repent, is to say there are times. And Kadosh Baruch Hu does not allow, because of someone's sin, to repent. El Yamos Barisho Sha'asa B'tchila Birtzado. But he will die in his wickedness that he started willingly. And he says also with Sichon as well, and the Kananim, he says, and Yisrael on the days of Eliyahu. So what he's saying is that they sinned, and therefore they were able to be limited, therefore their free will was limited. That was the punishment. There's evidence free will, but when you can sin so much, so you can limit your free will. And of course, the question that is like, how much you have to sin so that you lose your free will? We know, for example, you know, Nebuzaradan, who was the chief executioner in the time of the first Beis HaMikdash, so he did tshuva. He did tshuva. He killed, according to the Kina, tens of thousands of people, and he was able to do tshuva. So, like, when do you say that, you know, that tshuva, well, that free will is withheld from you? That's an interesting question. It's hard to know exactly at what point that, you know, that is. And obviously, what's driving the Rambam's opinion is that's the Pasha Pshat. That's a simple reading of the text, is that Hashem withheld the free will of Paro. So you sort of, you have these three different approaches. You have the first approach, which is it's just a guzma. In other words, don't take it literally that Hashem took away his free will. Either meant that he kept him alive, or that it's just simply an exaggeration. That Paro, it's as if God was doing this to Paro because it was so illogical. Paro was so stubborn, it was so illogical. That's sort of one extreme, and then you have this kind of mid, you know, this mid shita, like the Sfardo and the Ramban, who says that who say that Hashem withholds tshuva if it's not willing, and then you have the Rambam who says Hashem can withhold tshuva from some sinners. And by the way, it's actually not the Ramban. The Rambam doesn't come up with this himself. If you look and go back to the Ramban in the third line. So there's actually a debate between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan says that Mikad Pischon Pele Minim Lomar Loisim Menesh Yasa Tshuva. That some heretics can say a Kadosh Baruch Hu will not grant tshuva to someone. You know, so he thinks that there will always be some sort of tshuva. And Amar Reish Lakish, he says in Piyam Sheminim, says we should close the mouth of the heretics. Ela Im Leleitzim Hu Yolitz. Just you can, you know, don't you don't shouldn't care about these heretics. Maser bo pam rishona ushnia ushlishis ve'eno choser bo. If you warn him once, twice, or three times, and he doesn't repent, v'hu no bo delos minatshuva kedeli from menemashachata. So he says that you warn him a first, second, third time, he doesn't repent, then he locks the door from tshuva. This is a little bit different than the Rambam. What this is saying is not necessarily about, this is not necessarily simply that you can commit a sin so severely so that you lose the power of tshuva. What was unique about the situation with Paro is that he was warned a number of times, and the door of tshuva was only locked because of the multiple times that he was warned, not necessarily the severity of the sin. According to Reish Lakish, it says, Kach Paro Rasha came in Sheshagah Kadosh Baruch Hu Etzel Chamish Pomi V'lo Yishkiach HaDavaro. Hashem warned him, sent him five times, he didn't listen. So then, Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu Atayik Sheitzes Orbcha V'chbaritas Libcha. You've hardened your heart, so therefore Harini Mosi V'cha Tuma Tuma, so I'm going to add, you know, Tuma on your Tuma. So that is... So that is, and actually the Rambam's opinion is also found in the Ramban as one approach as well. But again, it's not necessarily the severity of the tshuva, it's that he was warned a lot of times. And in fact, Rav Yaakov Meidan suggests this approach, and he says this is consistent with what the Rambam says in Hilchot Tshuva, Perek Dad, Halacha Aleph. He says explicitly, there are 24 things that could prevent tshuva. And what's one of them? Number four, Ha'omer Echte V'Oshuv. In other words, you can't simply say, oh, I'm going to commit all these sins. Thank God I have a day called Yom Kippur. And Yom Kippur, I'll do tshuva. I'll do whatever I want 353 days of the year or 364 days of the year. Come Yom Kippur. And then I'm going to stand the whole day. I'm going to fast 25 hours. My kavanah is going to be better than everyone else. Doesn't work. It doesn't work. When does tshuva work? Tshuva works if you try to do good and you mess up. So then you have we're all human beings, we all mess up. And then what happens? Yom Kippur, then what happens? Tshuva. So then we can repent. In other words, repentance is in response to sin. It's not an excuse to sin. Paro saw the miracles of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but he tried to manipulate the divine gift of tshuva for his own benefit, but it didn't work. So that's perhaps the approach of the Rambam. In other words, It's not simply that someone can sin so much that he loses the power of tshuva. It's that, I mean, it could be. The Rambam talks about 24 things that prevent tshuva. But specifically with Paro, it's that he was warned again and again, and it's almost as if he's like, yeah, not a big deal, because what happens? I'll just say I'm sorry, and then Hashem will stop the plague, and then I'll continue doing what I'm doing, and that's how life will go on. And Hashem says, one second, that doesn't work. So again, just to summarize, one approach is that it's a guzma. Don't take it that seriously. Hashem didn't harden Paro's heart. We have to reinvent what the pasuk really means. He didn't really do it. Second approach is he hardened it a little bit so that he would only do tshuva from his intellect or his will, his willingness, and not the pressure of the makos. And the third approach is he lost it. Now, did he lose it because of the severity of the punishment, of the severity of the sin? Or maybe no. Or maybe it may be because that could be the Rambam, or maybe a slight variation of that, like Reish Lakish. If you keep on getting warned, and even more than that, if you basically say, yeah, I'll just sin and then say I'm sorry, so then that tshuva doesn't work, and Hashem hardening Paro's heart was payback for what Paro did. Yeah, Artie?
Yeah, I just wanted a quick one. What was Paro's endgame?